Shall we? Shall we bring on Richard?
Yes,
we I think we should. All right, Natasha, here we go.
Where is he?
All right, you crazy cats, here we go. Here in the heart of Hollywood, the boys of Happy Hour are proud to present
veteran actor of screens big and small, with over 75 credits to his name, Richard Tennant!
Who's that whispering in the trees?
What's going Richard on, bud?
Where are you? Where is he?
I don't know. You finally made your way in, right?
I heard he's really good.
I heard he looks like Renee Zellweger.
Now listen,
on a good day.
Renee, to be honest, if her eyes had gotten any smaller, she wouldn't have been able to see. I think that was her though. I know, but they were getting really small.
Smaller and smaller.
I actually think it was a medicinal procedure. I don't think it was cosmetic at all.
Oh my God.
I was like, I can't quite see anymore. Could you just
open them?
Before I say anything, I want to say I am so privileged to be on the same for Micah, whatever this thing
Hello,
is.
Hello, this is Marble. It's classy. KTLA.
These two, listen, I have seen, I saw these guys perform maybe a decade ago, which is weird since I'm only 15, at Director 66. And this is how good actors they are. Honestly, if I passed them on the street, I would not have known.
No.
I see anybody. I could see you in a wig and I wouldn't recognize you. But the truth is they inhabit those characters brilliantly. And this is actually the first time I've seen either of them without, you're wearing a little mascara, but without, anyway.
Make that.
You are very kind.
I owe you a blow.
One?
Only one?
All
that
right.
Was two. That was definitely a two-blow compliment.
Okay, I'll give you two.
Okay.
Mr. Tanner.
Yes.
Literally.
Please call me
been,
Mr.
Mr. You have been in so many
amazing. How do I do it?
No, seriously.
No, honestly. But it's so funny because you've created this one-man show,
yes,
which
have.
Everybody is raving about. It's sold
you.
Out. It was at Hollywood Fringe Festival.
Just written about in the Huffington Post.
Yeah. They said, this is the show not to miss. It's unlike any other one-man show.
Janet Charlton, the columnist, also was incredibly nice when I at the Fringe and said, see it before it goes to Broadway.
But you don't read reviews, so...
I read them like a hawk.
Like everyone reads them. Come on.
I have to just comment and say, what the hell? Are we having a little mood lighting later?
That's for the Tupperware party.
Is there going to be a little seduction going on later that I don't know about?
Yes.
No, vanilla.
It was from the show before.
Just see what we leave behind.
Bottles,
not
candles.
For you.
Was this like a show?
So anyway, to prep the room.
Okay, back to me. Yes.
So your show, you kind of.
Here's what I did. I had been in this business for a long time, and I'd never seen a one-man show. Most of the one-person shows I'd seen were either, they had a famous relative, they impersonated somebody really well, they had something horrible happen to them and they survived, or they just kind of ran through their career hits, and then I did this, and then I did this. And, none of those things applied to me. So I thought, what I haven't seen is I haven't seen a show from somebody like me, somebody who's been working steadily as an actor or unsteadily for 20 years or so. Again, only 15. Don't know how that happened. But and really sort of really say what it's like to be an actor and really say what it's like. You see a lot of shows about people. Oh, I let go of my dream and then I reconnected with it. Or, I found my dream. What if happens if you never let go of your dream? That can be just as horrible.
Yeah, it's true. It's totally true.
I call it a cautionary tale. What's interesting is I think we're going to add a matinee because a teacher I know, a professor I know, wants to take her whole theater and film class to come see it.
I think that's so important.
If I can prevent one person from becoming an actor, I will have done my job in this world. Right. No, not at all.
But you've had this career with these small parts and all these monumental shows like Golden Girls. You played the young Stan Sporak.
Yes, I did.
And
you know who wrote that episode?
No.
Mark Cherry, creator of Desperate Housewives.
Mark Cherry, yes.
That's right. Did he ever give me another job? No.
Hey, Mark, come on now.
He's a big producer.
He's a
producer.
It's not too late. It's not too late.
And he does the single best B. Arthur you'll ever hear in your whole life. Yeah, hilarious.
And then from that, you Estelle Getty actually did a reading of something that you wrote.
You have done your research.
You have no idea.
Meanwhile, this guy jumped me in the hallway. I almost had a coronary.
Oh, I
heard someone scream.
That's
out
how
there.
He greets all his guests. He sneaks up behind you and he's like, "Hi!" And you're like,
"What was I, Krusty the Clown, bitch?"
Did you guys?
Hi.
No, I'm blown away. Yes, yes. While I was doing Golden Girls, actually, I was writing a play. I did a reading of it that, okay, again, I'm dropping names. They're heavy. Michael Patrick King, creator of
The Comeback,
Sex in the City. He did a workshop of it at a theater that he was helming at the time called the Arcade at the Helms Bakery. Estelle Getty did the first reading of it, and then we had another cast do that.
And you've kind of dipped your toes in all these iconic shows like West Wing, and then you were in The Addams Family. Like you've
and your favorite?
Star Trek, Enterprise.
The one nobody
Vulcan.
Addams Family? I mean, come on.
The one nobody watched, Enterprise.
No, my boyfriend was on that.
Was he on
that? Scott Bakula? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you get... Oh, he was? I got all jealous. Like, drop it. It was the opening song. It was not Star Trek. Remember the openings to Enterprise was like with some guitar and like, we're out on a mission.
I never watched the show.
No.
Listen, I think I played the only bad Vulcan in the history of television.
No, but it was awesome, and you got
I got hit by Scott Bakula.
Yeah.
And if you watch the thing really, and if you watch it really carefully, you'll notice that he hits me this way, and I fall this way.
Oh, shit.
Just a little
whoopsie.
But they, also like ER, JAG, West Wing, The Nanny, and then you were an empty nest three times as three different characters.
Four times. Do your
four
homework,
times.
Bitch.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Were you sleeping with Susan Harris?
Four different characters, four different episodes, and I'm like the Gail Gordon I know nobody under 50 knows what the hell I just said, but yes, I was like, it's like, does anybody noticing it's the same Jew? And
never. Golden Girls did that too. The guy that played the Telecaster also played the boxing guy that played the violin. I'm so gay.
Well, it's all right, just keep going.
You just made a little Pinot Grigio come out my nose. Thank you.
Not for you.
I have that effect on men. And I was really interested in some of your earlier theater work. You worked with songwriter Stephen
Flaherty. Yes, indeed.
Ragtime.
God. I didn't happen to work on him on any of those things. I have this I have a really great knack for working with people just before they become successful. And he's actually still a very good friend and one of the single most talented people
I've
still ever met.
His music is beautiful.
Never given me a job. But I actually was lucky enough to meet him. I put an ad in one of the trades
Was that before Craigslist?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Backstage, if anybody remembers. I actually was looking for a songwriter and this was way back when in New York, and he was one of the first. He had just graduated conservatory. He'd come to New York. I met with four different songwriters. Do you know, out of four of those, three of them became successful Broadway composers.
So you have,
but of course,
you give
I
good
was
luck
like,
to other people.
So you know, we wrote a few songs together, and then we did a little dog and pony act. No offense, Casey. We did a little cabaret act. We had a little following, and then of course he went off to pursue his original goal of liking actual Broadway musicals. And I'm like, no, I'm going to stay where the money is. Cabaret, you know. Yeah, one of many, many bad decisions I made in my life, all of which are in my show.
But I love that you're so honest about that.
Look, I learned a long time ago, when crap happens, you either let it, you know, knock you to your knees, or you make fun of it. And by making fun of it, you gain power over it.
That's very true.
I
did stand up for 10 years, and honestly,
that's got to be terrifying.
No more terrifying than this.
Yeah. But it builds your armor, though,
right? Anything else. You know, it's all to
your
me.
Wit.
It's all part and parcel. It's all skills. Improv. I did improv for years, and you know, it's all skills that you need in your toolbox, I think, as an actor. The truth is, though, that I've completely lost my train of thought. I'll have a little more Pinot Grigio.
And you actually played Dean Martin. And you worked with Debbie Allen, which
have you been stalking me?
Richard Tanner, I'm
yes,
a fan.
He has.
You are a stalker.
Mr. Stan Zbornak.
What'd you do with Debbie Allen?
I actually wrote for a talk show once, and I
You are a writer.
Yes, and I did the pre-interview research. I spent an hour and a half in a hotel room with Joey Heatherton.
What?
Thank you,
Joey.
Thank
Heatherton.
You. Yeah, we got people who. Anyway, long story, another story. But I did the. You're better than me. I would find up all these like fun facts about people. You're fantastic. So go ahead. What, Debbie Allen? Yes, I got. It was one of those things where I just. Honestly, I audition a lot, because to me it's cheaper than taking an acting class.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, it's like playing the lottery. You might actually get something out of it. This one was it was like a Sunday. I had nothing else to do. I'm like, oh, Debbie Allen's directing this new musical about Sammy Davis Jr. Well, it'd be kind of fun to meet Debbie Allen.
It's called Sammy. With an exclamation point. Sammy.
Right, by the same guy who wrote Oliver.
Oh,
and,
really?
Exclamation point, I think. He only writes shows with like exclamation point. No, he wrote a lot. Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. Exclamation point.
Evita. Oh.
And I like many auditions, I literally went in and I just like, I just wanted, you know, basically just what a kick to say I auditioned for Debbie Allen. So I sang a song that Steve Flaherty and I wrote. And then I read a little bit. And then I thought, okay, that's that. And she's like, wait. So do you do Dean Martin? Can you do a good Dean Martin impersonation? I said, no, absolutely not.
Do you have a bottle of scotch? Anybody can do a good Dean Martin. Yeah.
Funny thing is that she cast me anyway. I played Dean Martin and Eddie Cantor.
Oh,
I get
right.
cast a lot of multiple roles, and I think a rabbi. I always get cast as a rabbi. It wasn't until, and I just kept, it bothered me. I couldn't quite get it. You know, I mean, I did a sort of a fake Frank Sinatra kind of loungy guy. And then literally like the day or two before we opened, I talked to a comedian friend of mine, wonderful guy, Robin Jones, who I haven't talked to in years. Hi, Robin. I'm sure he's watching UBN.
Of course he is.
And he worked me through it. And it was like, the trick was you had to throw a little Al Jolson into it. I'm not making this. And suddenly I was like, Sammy. And it just, that sucked. But it was better than that. And
I didn't say anything. I just stared at you blankly.
True story. After the show, Quincy Jones
said
to me, that was the best Dean Martin I've ever heard.
Wow.
And then he felt up my leg.
What? I've heard he was curious.
Hey, isn't everyone?
I think he was
it.
Just groping for something in his keys or something.
In your pocket?
What are they doing in your pocket? What's it like to arriving to these sets with some of these big names? And you're given a role like
Young
like,
Stan.
Like
right, yeah.
Well, Stan is fun. Did you study the adult version of Stan, who's a great actor?
Yes, Herb Edelman, the late Herb Edelman,
who
actually
unfortunately passed away.
Yes, I did, and what I've done more of is that, you know, for 10 years I would say I couldn't get cast as an American.
Wow.
As you say.
Well, you don't look very American.
Well,
why
what,
surprised?
What does an American look
exactly.
like?
Good.
I'm a nice Jewish boy from Long Island, for crying out loud.
How can you get more American?
In New York, you know what? Everybody looks like me in New York. I'm from New York. Everybody looks like me. I moved here within a week. I was like in Ralph's, and somebody's like, New York, right? Like, what? So I mean it. I spent a year, like I played. I did once a commercial where they did two versions, once in for French Canada and once for America. They didn't cast me as the American because they didn't think I looked American enough. So I played Syrian. I played Turkish. I played Russian. I played Greek. You know, and they'd always go like, you do a Turkish accent, don't you? And I'd be like, do I do a Turkish accent? And then I would go home, call like the Turkish embassy and be like, could you read these lines for me, please? You always say yes. And then it's the same thing like what you said, like the Herb Edelman thing. I said, send me every footage you have of the older Stan and I'll see if I can undo it. It's panic mode. It has nothing to do with skill. Complete panic. I once did, do we have time? Obviously, I'm really shy and hard. I did a commercial once for the Spanish lottery. For Spanish TV for the lottery. I didn't have to say anything. And right before we shot, the clients, not even the producer, the clients came over to me with this really worried look on my face. And they're like, you are Latino, right?
You're like, see?
And it's like, a little too late now to ask. And I'm like, well. And they're like, well, okay. You have Latino blood in you though, right? And I was like, yeah, sure. Because like all Jews come from Spain at some point or other. Like, you can literally just see the sweat pouring down their faces. It's like, what have we done? So yes, to answer any casting director out there, yes, I do. I have a little of everything in me right now.
The proper answer to that question
is turned around.
Yes, I do.
Well, how do you, since you
your
have,
voice just got really high
I
there
know,
for a minute.
I know, I did pick up. You started with Golden Girls. What do you feel about how Hollywood is today?
I didn't start with Golden Girls. My very first show was with O.J. Simpson, a show called First and Ten on HBO.
I do remember
when
that.
HBO was like, HBO, what
Wasn't
the hell
that the
is
first
that?
Series? I think that was the first series.
I think
series.
That might have been the first series on HBO. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, go
no,
on.
But what do you feel about how it's the transition, about the actors today, about how the difference of everything?
Well, I will tell you, reality shows are fantastic entertainment. I mean, I'm like everybody else. I watch them. They're great entertainment. They suck for actors. They have literally, you know, when reality shows literally took away a third of television for actors.
It affected the economy for entertainment, from the carpenters, from the costumers, to everything.
The carpenters, Karen and Richard, or just Karen?
Well, she's not at craft services. Hello.
No, but I think, we also didn't have as many networks as we do now. Mm-hmm. So I think it somehow balanced
it
out.
It balanced out that way, and it balanced out because of digital. So suddenly, instead of like doing these guest stars that I had worked my way up to, suddenly I was doing 5, 6, 7 movies, because with $5,000 and a digital camera, you could actually make a feature film.
Right. Yeah.
So that was the other way it balanced out. And in addition to the networks,
I would tell our listeners, go to the website Small Parts.
www.smallpartstheshow.com.
It's so funny. There's everything you need to know about you.
There's a clip. There's...
And you have the funniest reel. That's an unofficial reel where you make fun of your parts. And there's a whole section where everybody's touching you.
Yes, I play. In the show, I have a little pie chart showing the different roles I played, and it's all like sleazy lawyer, bad lawyer, dishonest lawyer, bad doctor. Yes.
So where can people see the show?
People can come see Small Parts at the Lounge, the beautiful, elegant Lounge Theater on the corner of El Centro and Santa Monica.
I've
I'm
been
sure.
rear-ended there.
I was gonna, and by rear-ended,
oh,
you
oh
mean?
My. Oh, in my car. I was parked at the time.
Quesadilla knows that corner very well, doesn't she?
I think so.
Uh-huh. El Centro and Santa Monica Boulevard every Wednesday. We open officially tomorrow night, the 22nd. Anybody who calls in and writes in and says UBN will get $1.99 off the ticket. How's
there
that?
There you go, damn it.
We run for the next 5 Wednesdays, and I think we've just added a Sunday matinee. So it'll
all
be on the website.
Get your tickets now, because
it's going like...
Check it out.
It sells out.
It's going like chimichangas.
Right. Jalapeno chimichangas.
And that's a lot.
All right, I think we're going to take
a quick break.
And then we're going to have a little live
because I got to pee.
Yeah,
I got to pee really bad.
And not for you!
All that pee.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We're going to be back.
Live performance!
With Billy Jones! Be right back, guys!